If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
There are probably three primary benefits to doing a nonprofit alongside of your regular business, even if it isn't the vehicle for your actual business, which sometimes it can be. Number one.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Christian speaks and writes on nonprofits and social enterprise based on his track record of starting nearly 3,000 nonprofit 501c3 organizations, in addition to 30 years of copywriting and fundraising for myriad causes. His big bet is that social enterprise founders are the superheroes of the new era. Personal values have replaced outdated anchors as the new basis for identity and behavior. Welcome to the convergence of cause and commerce. Hey, Christian, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you, Sam?
Man, I'm great.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, awesome. Pleasure Good. To have you on. I know you've got kind of a diverse background, and then while we won't have time to get into all of it, I really want to hear what it is that you do, how you plug in with real estate investors and people across the, around the world. I mean, just tell us about what you guys do and, you know, how we can learn more about you.
Absolutely. We, you know, at its core, our service is to help people start a 501c3 in on average under an hour for $1,000 to $2,000 and never talk to a government agent or a lawyer. So if you want to start a 501c3 for any reason, ranging from, you know, a little league to a real estate REIT that is a nonprofit, we are the place to go because attorneys are very well suited to certain activities and accountants, but their highest value is not doing something like this that we do every day, all day, do it extremely efficiently and get people super fast IRS approvals, which can take really long.
Right. Walk us through that. Even with developing economies of scale and efficiencies within your organization, how do you get a 501c3 filed for $1,000 to $2,000? That seems almost too good to be true.
It is. For one reason, it's all we do, right? So certain other companies that I'll just amalgamate with the made up name Rocket Zoom, they do everything for everybody. They do contracts, they do for-profit corps. And so nonprofits are a very, very small part of their offerings. And so it's just, if you don't do this fairly complex process every day, all day, and continually optimize, there are a number of places where there can either be a delay or somebody, you know, makes a mistake, trips an IRS red flag, doesn't catch the customer's potential conflict of interest, which just needs to be gotten out in front of. So we are able to do this in a way where nobody even sees a government application on the way to getting their 501c3 as far as completing all the documents, because especially real estate investors know whether it's getting a permit or doing anything else with government, you're filling out your name five times. They're asking you to describe something with no context about what it's for, what you're doing what the exercise is for. And so you're sort of feeling your way around in the dark, especially if you've never done it before. We believe that if you're only going to do something once, which most people only start a nonprofit once or twice in their life, you shouldn't become an expert at that. You should become an expert at serving the community, raising money, and doing the things that have long-term value.
How did you discover this kind of need in the market?
That's funny. I had worked in issue advocacy for a number of years and more in the 501c4 world. So exposing things that might affect, you know, voters and people who just taxpayers, et cetera. And sometimes there's some policy analysis involved. So my friends and I decided to start a policy analysis organization, which is a 501c3. That's a 501c3 is more of a charity. For example, a 501c6 is a chamber of commerce that only benefits its members. It doesn't benefit the public at large. So a 501c3 is a typical charity that you might think of as a charity. And so I volunteered to do the application part of it and let the other participants, you know, co-conspirators do the other parts of the nonprofit. And I said, you know, give me the application. How hard can that be? And as I'm filling it out, I'm calling the IRS saying, well, I want this to go quickly. I hear this takes a long time. I don't want to wait a year for it to be approved. And they said sort of, haha, don't worry, it's going to take a long time. And, you know, we can't really give you any guidance or legal advice. And I just couldn't believe because, you know, that was the case. And I kind of became morally outraged because my little sister is developmentally disabled. And so without knowing it, as a kid, I was involved in Special Olympics and all kinds of other important causes that I later realized those are nonprofits, right? So I became morally outraged. And what I did was I took the number they gave me on their form letter at the IRS, and I called 20 extensions north and south of that extension, knowing I'd probably get somebody in the department. And I begged, pleaded, cajoled. I promised to send chocolates and flowers, whatever I needed to do to find out why it takes so ridiculously long. What makes a terrible file? What makes a perfect file? And I developed something I called a love letter to a bureaucrat. So that if Selma Hayek was maybe an IRS agent and I wanted her to run away to Fiji with me forever, what would be that love letter that I would give her as far as an IRS 501c3 application? And in curating and practicing with that first application and then volunteering to do it for a couple of others in town, like a little private school that I was helping start, I started getting 30 to 60 day approvals when it was normally 10 months to a year and a business was born.
Wow. That's fantastic. And there's a little hack for you. Find the extension they gave you. And what'd you say you do? You went on both sides of the extensions, you know, 30 or 40.
Yeah, it was like 9201. I'm just calling 02, 03, 04. And whoever's answering, I eventually got one to get up from their desk, go get my application and walk me through every element of it. And I'm just taking notes. And I started putting those things in practice and just hacking the system.
Wow, that's awesome. So then you went out and said, hey, I'm going to hang out a shingle and actually be a 501c3, you know, rapid approval expert. And so Exactly. Tell us then, now that we know that you are this expert, because that's amazing. First of all, I've always heard, you know, hey, you know, 10 months, a year, maybe even longer. So tell us how you plug in then. Let's tie this back to real estate. Like, how do you tie in what you do with real estate investors, with real estate in general? Just kind of, you know, give us some insight on that if you can.
Absolutely. I mean, we are living in the age of cause, the convergence of cause and commerce. And so people are out to do good today with their companies, their efforts, et cetera, you know, their for-profit efforts. It's sort of part of the DNA from the outset nowadays. Well, when I make it, right, what kind of good do I want to do? How do I want to give back to the community? You'll see this in a lot of startups with Zappos and Tom's Shoes and all kinds of things. And even people in their own private lives, you know, in yesteryear, somebody would start a farm implement company out in the Midwest. And after they paid for the grandkids' college and got the wife the Cadillac and did all the other things, it'd be like, okay, I'm 60. What am I going to do with this company and what's my legacy? But I think we've changed now where people start when I have a passion for equine therapy, or I had this problem that I dealt with in my childhood, so I want to help domestic violence survivors. And so people start thinking about the why much earlier because it's just part of the culture now. What we do with real estate investors and business people in general who can enjoy some benefits of a nonprofit, there are probably three primary benefits to doing a nonprofit alongside of your regular business, even if it isn't the vehicle for your actual business, which sometimes it can be. Number one, everyone wants to be seen as a good steward in society, right? You want to be seen as somebody who's not just, you know, nakedly raking profits off the top and you know, leaving scraps for everyone else, but that you've got a heart and you're out to give back to the community and be a responsible, you know, person. So there's sort of the halo, what I call the halo effect. And so when you have a nonprofit that you are dedicating some of your proceeds to, first of all, that differentiates you in the marketplace. If you intend to do that from the beginning, that can be part of your pitch. And if you're doing that and you align with the value of your real estate buyer, and that makes you different than the person that might be competing for your deal, there you go. It also allows you to, you know, propagate your presence, your brand, your name, because you can name your foundation, the Sam Wilson, you know, Real Estate Foundation. 10% of proceeds go to these things. And here's what I really am passionate about. So here's the areas we're focusing on. Mm. You show up to the black tie, the silent auction, et cetera. So that's just at its simplest level, that is one of the main reasons that somebody would want to start a nonprofit alongside of their business. There are also directly real estate related things such as raffles and promotions, to where maybe you're doing a project. And what comes to mind is a veterans project that we helped to start. And people were getting donations to do this project to fix up a tiny home for veterans, right? And then people would get very involved in social, and they would meet some of the veterans that were up for, you know, possibly getting this home. And it was sort of like a Habitat for Humanity, but it was, you know, this person, this real estate company's project. And so they got a lot of attention for it. I had another friend that would do a big, massive national raffle through a nonprofit. And they would promote, you know, the cause of their nonprofit. And this home would be fixed up and raffled off to someone. And all the proceeds would go to supporting a nonprofit. So there's all kinds of different ways you can do that. But particularly with a real estate project, there are also some tax reasons that you might want to have a nonprofit. If a nonprofit rolls up money in its, you know, in that entity that you might be intending to use for good purposes anyway, it reduces your personal or corporate top line as far as your, so you might bump you down a corporate tax bracket. And also, if you roll it over at the end of the year inside the nonprofit, it's not going to be taxed at the, well, I think we were at 21% corporate rate, and we're almost certainly going to increase in the upcoming administration. So that's a consideration. You can have friends, family, et cetera, or yourself be paid a salary through that nonprofit as well for legitimate nonprofit work. So again, those are just a handful of the reasons that somebody might want to have a real estate business with a nonprofit alongside of it as a vehicle for good. And the last two things I'll mention are larger projects. You can have a community development corporation, which gives you access to HUD properties, government grants, low-income projects, and those are generally larger projects, but it really opens up a whole new world, and especially with the pandemic and everything, there's probably going to be a need for some of those programs. And then there's the community investment trust concept, which is a REIT, and that was started by Mercy Corps and sort of pioneered by them. And again, they're coming at it from an interesting angle. Their REIT is now available to be invested in by regular people, not just accredited investors. So they're not only benefiting the community with the housing project, they're benefiting the community by allowing them to invest in a REIT where they never would be able to if it was a traditional accredited investor project. So again, I could go on. I know we don't have a lot of time, but I wanted to list a handful of reasons that I selected for this show that might appeal to your listeners.
No, I think that's absolutely fantastic. And I actually want to hear a lot more. I've got a couple of questions for you as it pertains to this. When thinking about this, when do you recommend an investor set up their 501c3? Say there's a special project. Do you say, hey, set this up, you know, when you launch the company? Is it something you can do anytime? Is there a particular rhyme or reason to the timing of when someone should be looking at this?
It really is it's a very personal consideration. One of the barriers that we lower through our service is not only the starting the nonprofit, where we make it so easy that, you know, in less than an hour's work, we're basically delivering a nonprofit to you and going through all the steps. Once you get started, we just deliver good news to your inbox and documents to your cloud folder. But there's also the maintenance piece, which is, you know, no, nonprofits are notorious for having a couple of extra steps to maintain. We also handle that for just a handful of hundreds of dollars a year. I think it's $400 or $500 a year, where we have some Ask Us Anything coaching, and then all of the critical filings to keep your good standing are done by our staff. So in lowering the barriers on those, it makes it much easier to start the nonprofit earlier in the cycle when you don't, you know, because everybody wants to wait until they have the bandwidth to manage something like this. But a really good example of that is I have a real estate agent. She's just an agent, but she's very involved in the community, and she's starting a music festival that she's been basically fronting out of pocket for and then, you know, paying it off with ticket money. And we're just starting a nonprofit for her right now. And her name, you know, as a real estate agent, is going through the community like wildfire because they already love the music festival. And now she's doing it through her nonprofit where she's able to get influential people in the community on her board. She's able to get a lot of volunteers from the community and sort of have a rallying point through this nonprofit that is going to explode her real estate practice.
Right. And that's absolutely awesome. And that was going to be one of my questions, was maintenance on these things. Because like you said, I think, you know, these can be notoriously, you know, maintenance heavy, keeping your logs for your meetings and who was there and, you know, number of board members and all that stuff. So you guys will assist in kind of making sure all those things stay on track as well.
Absolutely. Because we not only, there are three elements of the package that we give you. We don't just do the filings. We give you a complete corporate governance package with training on how to run your board meeting. It's actually called How to Run Your Board Meeting in 30 Minutes or Less, not the average 3 hours.
Right.
With a, you know, plug and play 9-step video, matching agenda. And I mean, you are in and out of there and everybody's like, wow, I didn't know you were a pro at this, even though you've never done it. So you get the filings, the complete corporate governance package that has to do with everything you need to do to run the nonprofit on your side internally. And then you get access to our customer training portal where we're constantly popping in new cool things to just make your life easier. And even talk about some of these opportunities, because people don't see all the opportunities that a nonprofit can give you. But one little idea like the music festival can spark something really awesome.
Right. Man, Christian, that's awesome. I look forward to connecting with you on this in the near future, because that's something that's going to be right up my alley. So that's fantastic. Let's jump into the final four here if we can. If you were to distill everything you know about nonprofits and then give it down to one piece of advice for someone that's looking to start one, what would that one piece of advice be?
It can be easier if you have the right partner than you could ever imagine to have a nonprofit and focus instead of on the paperwork, on the benefits and getting your name out there and serving the mission. And don't we all need to come together right now because of the economic situation, the pandemic, et cetera. So that would be the one thing.
Right. That's awesome. When it comes to staying on top of your game, what's one thing you're doing to do that?
I just listened to, I'm mourning the loss, the tragic loss of Tony Hsieh, right? One of the great entrepreneurs who, was a billionaire, but was not a Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, untouchable. He was a regular guy who just loved people and did really cool things like the downtown real estate development project, actually, in downtown Vegas. And he really put his money to good use. And he wrote a book called Delivering Happiness. And I am getting so many nuggets out of listening to that book every day. And so I just wanted to honor Tony Hsieh and everything he's done for the entrepreneurial community in general, but the real estate community in particular.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And the third question is, well, I guess when it comes to giving back, you know, that's always our third question. When it comes to giving back, what's one thing you're doing to make the world a better place? But it sounds like you're already doing that, but maybe you have an answer I don't expect. So what's that look like for you?
Well, a project I'm personally involved in, which happens to have to do with real estate, I didn't really set this up, this is really happening, is I have some friends who are real estate developers in the Seattle area. And they, you know, they're doing single family, they're doing some commercial, but they got this particular piece of land, and they're a couple, and they are interested in helping domestic violence survivors and people who need the skill sets to and the counseling and healing and all that stuff to get back out into the community. And so they bought a piece of land and they are developing a center for therapy and for, you know, helping the victims of domestic violence, mostly women and children. And then they are building tiny homes on lots adjacent to the property. So those can be used as transitional housing on the way out of the crisis situation that they're in. And it is so cool. And they've invited me to be a part of it and be an advisor and even get down, sort of put some boots on the ground and get out there and you know, help them get the foundations and the builds out and the build outs done and all of that kind of stuff. So I am super excited about that. So that's one way that I can give back is, you know, carefully select certain projects that I'm passionate about. Another one is we just got an ayahuasca church approved by the IRS for Denver, which just legalized psilocybin mushrooms, which is being used to help people with PTSD and significant trauma. And it's very cutting edge. And it's another area of passion of mine. So those are the kinds of things I'm doing. And then I do have a link where your listeners can get some free gifts and we can help them do, because I get to wake up every day and help thousands of people do amazing things of every type you can imagine. So, you know, what's important to me isn't necessarily the important thing, but what's in the heart of your listener where they've just had this burning desire and didn't know how to do it, we're here to help with that. So,
man, that's awesome. That sounds super rewarding. I look forward to hearing more about what you guys are getting involved in. What's the best way for our listeners to get in touch with you?
So to get the free gifts that I was mentioning, which are things like what you need to know about starting a nonprofit. And then I do have this real estate focused piece that anyone who requests it can receive. But if you go to instantnonprofit.com, that's just one word, instantnonprofit.com/podcastfans, no dash or anything, just podcast fans. We will send you a free gift on everything you need to know to start a nonprofit. And then if you reply with the request, I'll send you a special 7-point basically cheat sheet on the benefits to starting a nonprofit as a real estate investor or somebody who's involved with real estate, maybe just an agent.
That's awesome. Christian, thank you so much for your time today. I certainly appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Sam. I really enjoyed it.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.